Hello and welcome to the broadcast for Sunday the 9th of August 2020, where we're still doing a lot of things online. I hope you're well and things are going okay for you and you've been safe if you've gone away on holiday or if you've gone, if you're having a staycation, whatever situation you might be in. I hope you are okay. So before we go any further, let us have our little quiz. For 5 points, I am thinking of a drink. Can you guess what it is? For 4 points, this is something you can drink hot or cold. Does that help? For 3 points, it is something you can mix with other drinks. Can you guess yet? For 2 points, it has no color. And for 1 point, it is said to be refreshing. So, did you guess that I was thinking of water? If you did, well done. So, this broadcast is for children in the way, although I don't think this week it's going to matter very much, but you're supposed to be in year 7 and above, just in case I say something that might be a little bit young for the younger children. So today we're going to continue our series Things Christians Should Know, and we are looking at Psalm 91. This is another lovely psalm that you can use to say prayers around and to help you to focus on God and how good He is at protecting us, at comforting us, and taking care of us. Psalm 91 is all about that. So we're just going to go quickly through and look at each of the verses, and there are only 16 verses for the psalm, so it's one that you could quite easily use to memorize, because it's so easy to apply the psalm to prayer. So if we look at verse 1 and 2 together, it says, "Whoever dwells in the secret place of the Most High will rest in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." These two verses talk a lot about how God protects us, how He cares for us. And in this first part, it's like God has a secret place that He keeps His children, safe in. And this place is a good place that you can hide and feel protection. Here, the psalmist in verse 2 says, "The Lord is my refuge and my fortress." And we see that in a lot of other psalms as well, where God is seen to be a place you can go to hide if you've done something bad. Like they used to have refugee cities when the Israelites were in the land of Canaan, and if somebody had committed a crime, like murdered somebody, they could go and live in one of these refugee cities and they would be looked after and they would be safe and nobody could come and look for them and kill them. Also, like, churches are seen as a place of refuge that if you've done anything bad, you can go to them and ask for help and be looked after, and the police would not be able to come and get you out. And a fortress, of course, is like, it's like part of a castle. So it's usually a little bit higher up, so you can see anything that's coming your way. It's fortified and it's got really thick walls to keep you safe. So from a fortress, you can see far into the distance to see if an enemy is coming. And it's really difficult to get at somebody who is in a fortress because they are really high up, and usually there's only one way in, so it's easy to protect that entrance. There's usually no windows that you can easily see to get at the person who is in a fortress. So when God is your fortress, then you're really completely safe and you can trust him, just like that last part says, God, my God in whom I trust. So it shows us that God protects us and keeps us safe and we can trust him. Verse 3 and 4 say, surely he will save me from the foulest snare and from the deadly pestilence. He will cover you with his feathers, and under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness will be your shield and rampant. Right. And now this is talking about how God protects us and how he brings his protection, comfort, and care into practical aspects. This is more like something that uses a lot of imagery to show us what God is doing. It talks about the fowler's snare. A fowler is somebody who catches birds for a living. And in order to catch birds, you have to work in secret. And that's what the devil does sometimes. He works in secret to try and trap us and to try and trick us into moving away from God. He sets traps and he changes his methods. So we might think, oh, this is where the trap is going to be, that the devil is going to set me. And he moves it and he changes his methods. And maybe he might put something that you like in front of you. Or maybe he might ask somebody to offer you something for free. And all of these could be traps. So when God is looking after us, God helps us to uncover all of this traps that the devil might set before us. And sometimes the devil puts sweet things or things that give us the idea that we'll get a lot of pleasure out of it. But some of them might be sin. So you have to be careful not to just follow along the things that we want or the things that look good. We have to rely on God telling us what the best things for us are. And sometimes the devil will use a decoy. He will use something that you want and he'll put it in front of you and dangle it like a little carrot on a stick to make you go a certain way. So we really need God's wisdom to know how the devil uses all these tricks and to be on our guard and on high alert. And then it talks about the deadly pestilence. Okay, this is like illness or sickness that could kill you. And it's talking about God will save me from that. Just like he saved me from the fowler, he will save me from anything that is bad that is trying to kill me. Verse 4, it talks about God covering us with his wing, and under his wings we'll find refuge. So when a bird has had chicks or any young, it'll protect them and it'll hide them sometimes from the enemy so that the enemy doesn't know that they're there. And that's what God does with us sometimes. Sometimes he protects us from the enemy by hiding us so that even though other people might be seen and the devil might attack them in one way or the other, we are hidden from bad things happening to us and the devil doesn't see us. And so that's how God keeps us safe. And it says that his faithfulness will be your shield and rampant. Now the shield is a smaller weapon of war that you use either to push people away from you or to stop their weapons getting to you. But a rampant is a much bigger shield. And in the Roman army, it's the one that they used to stand and it was taller than the height of a man. And when every person stood with their rampant next to each other, they used to click together so that they formed a wall of protection. And that is what God's faithfulness is. Now, God is so faithful with everything that he does for us that he is like a train on train tracks. It will never come off. And so that is how, you know, that faithfulness, that truthfulness and that honesty that we can trust with God is like a shield that protects us and a rampant that forms a massive wall to hide us and keep us safe. When we look at verse 5 and 6, it talks about the results of God's protection. So it says, you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day, nor the pestilent that stalks in the darkness, nor the plague that destroys at midday. First of all, it's looking at all the hours of a 24-hour period. It's looking at the nighttime, the day. It talks about stalking in the darkness. And it talks about midday. So the terror of night. Sometimes we worry and we fear at night and we're anxious and we cannot sleep. But here it's telling us you don't need to fear that terror in the night. Arrows that flies by the day. Wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, different things come at you. Maybe it's traffic. Maybe it's the work you have to do. Maybe it's your parents telling you to tidy up. While you're going through your day, there are a lot of things that demand and want your attention. And here, those arrows are not going to stop you doing the work that you're supposed to do, because God will be watching over you and he takes them away. The pestilence that stalks in the darkness is something that is trying to snap you up and kill you. And it's coming at a time or in a place where you cannot see. So it's stalking you. And so God watches over you and protects you from that. And the plague that destroys at midday is something that is coming up in the open. It's not trying to be subtle about it. It's not trying to be like hiding. It's coming out in broad daylight and it's coming to attack you like a tank. If an army tank was coming at you, you couldn't miss that. So sometimes there's trouble that's coming at you and you can see the trouble coming. And you know, maybe it's a deadline. It might be a deadline for a course or something that you're doing. And you know it's coming and it's not hiding and there's nothing you can do about it. It's coming right at you. But God will protect you and God will watch over you and make sure that you make that deadline or you stay protected. And he just keeps you safe. Then we look at verse 7 to 8. It's talking about the assurance of a believer. So if you believe in God and you believe all these things, that he's going to keep you safe and all that. Verse 7 says, 1,000 will fall at your side, 10,000 at your right side, but it will not come near you. You will only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. So if you're being a good person and you're trusting in God, nothing will hurt you. You will only hear about it that, oh, other people have been affected in that way. Or, you know, but I know that my family is blessed and I know that we're trusting in God. And we have heard rumors of like things happening to other people with COVID-19. But we have been so blessed that nothing bad has happened to any of us. And that is like God's protection to hide us from all these things that could come near us. And 10,000 people falling at your right hand and 1,000 falling at your side. That's like a lot of people being affected and devastated by all these things. But the Bible assures us that it will not come near you. You will only see with your eyes. You only observe with your eyes and see the punishment of the wicked. So for all the bad people around that are not following God, not trusting in him, you will see that they are being affected badly and that bad things are happening to them. That's not to say that's the only reason that bad things happen to people. Not everybody that's wicked has bad things happen to them. And not everybody that's good has, you know, is kept safe from bad things. Sometimes God lets bad things happen for a reason. Then we're going to look at verse 9 to verse 13, which again is repeating God's promise to deliver us and also the assurance that we will win at the end, that we will be victorious. Verse 9 say, if you say the Lord is my refuge and you make the Most High your dwelling, no harm will overtake you. No disease will come near your tent, for he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. They will lift you up in their hands so that you do not strike your foot against a stone. You will tread on the lion and the cobra. You will trample on the great lion and the serpent. So here, it is again going back to the Lord being our refuge. And it says, if you do these things and you trust in God and you make him the place where you dwell, that means you are in that place all the time. You're communicating and connecting with God all the time. No harm will overtake you and no disease will come near your tent or near your house, in our case, because we don't live in tents anymore. For God will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone. This is the one of the temptations that the devil put before Jesus. And he said, if you are really the Son of God, prove it to me by throwing yourself over this cliff. And then God has said he will give his angels charge over you so you will not dash your foot against the stone. So show us that this is really God and that you are really the Son of God. But the devil was using this to tempt Jesus and to so that Jesus gets full of pride and wants to show people that he is the Son of God. But that's not what God had intended. And of course, Jesus rebuked the devil and won the day. So when we trust in God, he will give his angels charge over us concerning our ways. And in everything that we're doing, you know, we can always use a little bit of help from our angels. There have been times when I've been driving and sometimes the space has been so tight and I've thought, ooh, I might hit the car next to me. But I believe that God sends his angels to watch over me and to keep me safe when I'm driving and to make sure that the car works well and everything works to his glory. So that's one of the things that he'll say, that that his angels will lift us up. And verse 13 says, you will tread on the lion and the cobra. You'll trample on the great lion and the serpent. This was one of the things that Jesus sort of said he was giving us power over before he went to heaven. He said that you will, if you believe in me, you will step on scorpions and serpents and they will not hurt you at all. Now, this is no challenge for you to take your shoes off and go and step in dangerous situations just to see whether that is true, whether you will not be harmed. That, again, would be pride to show that where you want the fame of all of this. So we've got to stay humble and we've got to let God be God in our life. Even if it's in secret, that's okay. So here, stepping on lions and cobras is similar to like having danger come near us and it will not affect us. Things that, you know, that should kill us, things that should hurt us, maybe even COVID-19, something like that. I'm not saying you need to go on a COVID-19 ward with no protection, but God will keep those things that should hurt you and kill you. He will keep you safe from them hurting you. And that is one of the promises that he's giving us. If we look at the last three verses, verse 14, 15, and 16, it now, God starts talking in the psalm in the first person. And he's telling us more promises and blessings because we love him. And he says, because he loves me, says the Lord, I will rescue him. I will protect him, for he acknowledges my name. He will call on me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him with long life. I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. So God is saying here that because we have decided to be a whoever, and of course the whoever comes from when we looked at John chapter 3, verse 13, where the Bible says, Jesus, the Son of God came, that whoever believes in him will not die, but will have everlasting life. And we can decide to be that whoever. This is another opportunity for us to take on that whoever, that if we will trust in God, he will rescue us and protect us because we acknowledge his name. Acknowledging his name is like keeping the Ten Commandments that we talked about, making sure that we keep those four first ones that all focus on God, making sure that we treat him as the only true God and not worship idols, not use his name in vain, and keep the Sabbath day holy. All of those commandments, keeping all of those things, acknowledges that we trust and we know who God is. So if we do that, God promises us that he will protect us. And in verse 15, it says, he will call on me and I will answer him. This calling on God is when we're praying. We can have that assurance that because we trust God and we're relying on him as our refuge and our provider for everything we need, whenever we pray, God will answer us. Carries on saying, I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. So God keeping us safe is amazing, is wonderful. But honoring us means that we get known for being different to other people, and we get a good reputation. So God wants that for us, and he wants other people to know that some of the reason why good things are happening to us is because God is with us. And that is what he's promising here. Verse 16 says, with long life, I will satisfy him and show him my salvation. Okay, so God's salvation that came through Jesus Christ was not only about dying on the cross to save our souls and getting us into heaven. It was also about making sure that we have that good life and that it is abundant life. Now, God wants us to have a good old age, to be strong and to be able to play with our grandchildren and to have our mind working correctly and not to be stressed or worried about anything, and that we're not too fat and getting obese, that's bad for our health, and that we're not too skinny and losing loads of weight and not looking healthy. God just wants us to be just right and to be happy with whatever age or stage we are at. So even if he gives us this long life, he says, I will satisfy him. That means you will be happy to be whatever age you are, and you will feel that you have achieved good things. And God showing us his salvation is like making sure that as you get older, your body stays healthy, your mind is able to focus and work on the right things that you need, and that you do the right things at the right time, like getting your license easily and things like that. That is part of God's salvation for you. It's not only about the hereafter when we die and going into heaven. Having God's salvation also affects your day to day. It means having friends around you, having the right activities to cover during the pandemic, and even as you're coming out of lockdown, not to be worried or anxious about anything because you know that God is watching you and keeping you safe. That is part of God's salvation. So this psalm is amazing to use as a prayer. I'll just give you a quick example. If you're looking at verse 5, you could say, Lord, I pray that you will help me not to be afraid of anything in the night, and also not to worry about arrows that fly during the day. So during the night, Lord, I put myself into your hands and I ask that you keep me safe and keep my mind safe so I do not worry or are anxious about anything. But also during the day, oh Lord, those things that could come at me that I could see, please keep me safe from that. So that is how you can use that psalm to pray. And I mean, there's loads of different parts of it, and I won't take up too much time going through how you can personalize each part of the psalms, but it's something that you really just need to practice and to do regularly so that these psalms become part of your everyday life. So that is Psalm 91, a really lovely psalm of God's protection and comfort and care for us so that we can have that assurance of knowing that he is there. So next week, we are going to have a quiz. I won't be teaching anything. I'll be looking at a lot of the things that we have learned during lockdown. We're going to look at some of the Wonder Women of Power. I'm going to ask you questions on some of the things that we've talked about that Christians should know. just to see whether you remember them. But it won't be too difficult. It should be more fun than anything else. So just to end, I pray that God blesses you and keeps you, and he watches over you, and he hides you under the shadow of his wing and gives you peace. Amen. Stay blessed, and I'll see you next time. Bye.